He came alert immediately. There wasn't supposed to be anything in his safe camp that could kill him. What was it?
Vines in the tree branches? A spider dropping quietly from above? Something larger?
On Pachi, any one of 100 different animals could kill a man in a heartbeat. Sixth had not heard Sock screech in years. All around, wild Aviar squawked. Sixth spun about, holding his hands to his ears, eyes wide as corpses appeared around him. His own body, eyes staring dead, appearing and vanishing. They piled high, one atop another, some bloated, some bloody, some skeletal, haunting him. Dozens upon dozens. He dropped to his knees. That put him eye to eye with one of the corpses. Only this one was not quite dead. Blood dripped from its lips as it tried to speak, mouthing words that Sixth did not understand. It vanished. They all vanished. All of the corpses, every last one. He turned about, wild, but saw none of them. He felt tense, as if at any moment a shadow would explode from the blackness around his camp and consume him. He anticipated it, felt it coming. He wanted to run somewhere. What had that been? In all of his years with Sock, he had never seen anything like it.
What could have upset all of the Aviar at once in that way? What had they felt?
Was it something about the Night Maw he had heard?
Don't be foolish. This was different. Different from anything you've seen. Different from anything that has been seen on Pachi. But what?
What had changed? Sock had not settled down like the others. She stared northward, toward where Vathi had said the main camp of invaders was setting up. Sixth stood up, then clambered down into the room below, Sock on his shoulder.
What are your people doing?
Vathi spun. She had been looking out of the window, northward. He took her by the front of her vest, pulling her toward him in a two-fisted grip, meeting her eyes from only a few inches away.
What are your people doing?
Her eyes widened, and he could feel her tremble in his grip, though she set her jaw and held his gaze. Scribes were not supposed to have grit like this. He had seen them scribbling away in their windowless rooms. Sixth tightened his grip on her vest, pulling the fabric so it dug into her skin.
Release me, and we will speak.
He hadn't realized he'd lifted her off the ground. She backed away, putting as much space between them as the room would allow. He stalked to the window, looking through the mesh screen at the night. His corpse dropped from the roof above, and he stepped back, worried that it was happening again. It didn't. Not the same way as before. However, when he turned back into the room, his corpse lay in the corner, bloody lips parted, eyes staring sightlessly. The danger, whatever it was, had not passed. Vathi had sat down on the floor, holding her head, trembling. Had he frightened her that soundly? She did look tired, exhausted. She wrapped her arms around herself, and when she looked at him, there was a cast to her eyes that hadn't been there before, as if she were regarding a wild animal let off of its chain. That seemed fitting.
What do you know of the ones above?
They live in the stars. They claim that we once did too.
We, at the company, have been meeting with them. We don't understand them, at least not their ways. They look like us. At times, they talk like us, but they have rules, laws that they won't explain. They refuse to sell us their marvels, but in like manner, they seem forbidden from taking things from us, even in trade.
That is fine. They are not of us, no matter what they look like. If they leave us alone, we will be better for it.
You haven't seen the things they can do. We have barely worked out how to create ships that can sail on their own against the wind. I thought that development to be amazing until the ones above arrived. They can sail the skies, sail the stars themselves. They know so much, and they won't tell us any of it.
She shook her head, reaching into the pocket of her skirt.
They are after something, Sixth. Their laws forbade them from contacting us until we were able to harness steam on our own. Now they can speak to us, but their laws won't let them teach us. If that is the case, what interest do we hold for them? From what I've heard them say, there are many worlds like ours with cultures that cannot sail the stars. We are not unique, yet the ones above come back time and time again. They do want something. You can see it in their eyes.
What is that?
Sixth nodded to the thing she took from her pocket. It rested in her palm like the shell of a clam, but had a mirror-like face on the top.
It is a machine, like a clock, only it never needs to be wound, and it shows things.
What things?
The location of Aviar.
What?
It's like a map. It points the way to Aviar.
That's how you found my camp?
Yes.
She rubbed her thumb across the machine's surface.
We aren't supposed to have this. It was the possession of an emissary sent to work with us, but he died. The death was natural. He choked while eating. They can die, it appears, even of mundane things. That changed how I view them. The others have asked after his machines, and we will have to return them soon. But this tells us what they are after. The Aviar. The ones above are always fascinated with him. I think they want to find a way to trade for the birds, a way their laws will allow. They hint that we might not be safe, that not everyone above follows their laws.
But why did the Aviar react like they did just now?
Sixth turned back to the window.
Why did I see what I saw? What I'm still seeing to an extent.
His corpse was there, wherever he looked, slumped by a tree outside, in the corner of the room, hanging out of the trapdoor in the roof.
Sloppy.
He should have closed that. Sock had pulled into his hair like she did when a predator was near.
There is a second machine.
That's right. She had said machines earlier.
More than one. Where?
On our ship.
The direction the Aviar had looked.
It's much larger. This one in my hand is limited in what it can do. The larger one, it can create an enormous map, one of an entire island, then write out a paper with a copy of that map. That map will include a dot marking every area.
And?
And we were going to turn on the machine tonight. It takes hours to get ready, like an oven growing hot, before it's ready to draw its map for us. The schedule was to turn it on tonight, just after sunset, so we could use it in the morning.
The others, they'd use it without you?
Happily. Captain Eustall probably did a dance when I didn't return from scouting. He's been worried I would take too much of the credit for this expedition. But the machine isn't harmful. It merely locates Aviar. You don't need to worry so much.
Did it do that before? When you last used it? Did it draw the attention of all the Aviar? Discomfort them?
Well, no. But the moment of discomfort has passed, hasn't it? I'm sure it's nothing.
Nothing.
Sock quivered on his shoulder. Sixth saw death all around him. The moment they had used that machine, the corpses had piled up. If they used it again, the results would be horrible. Sixth knew it. He could feel it.
We're going to stop them.
What? Tonight?
Yes.
Sixth walked to a small hidden cabinet in the wall. He pulled it open and began to pick through the supplies inside. A second lantern, extra oil. He would need those.
That's insane. Nobody travels the islands at night.
I've done it once before, with my uncle.
His uncle had died on that trip.
You can't be serious, Sixth. The night moths are out. I've heard them.
Traveling quickly and cutting across the center of the island, we can be to your camp by morning. We can stop them from using the above machine again.
But why would we want to?
Because if we don't, it will destroy the island.
You can't know that. Why do you think you know that?
Come on.
He walked to the hatch and pulled it open. Vati rose, but pressed back against the wall.
I'm staying here.
They won't believe me. You will have to tell them to stop. You are coming.
Vati licked her lips in what seemed to be a nervous habit. She glanced to the sides, looking for escape, then back at him. Right then, Sixth noticed his corpse hanging from the pegs in the tree beneath him.
What was that?
Nothing.
You keep glancing to the side. What do you think you see, Sixth?
We're going, now.
You've been alone on the island for a long time. You're upset because something unexpected has happened in our arrival. You aren't thinking clearly. I understand.
Thok, show her.
The bird launched from his shoulder, flapping across the room, landing on Vati. She turned to the bird, frowning. She fell to her knees. Vathi pulled back against the wall, eyes darting from side to side, mouth working but no words coming out. Sixth left her to it for a short time, then raised his arm. Sak returned to him on black wings, dropping a single dark feather to the ground. She settled in again on his shoulder. That much flying was difficult for her.
What was that?
Come on.
Sixth took his pack and climbed down out of the room. Vathi scrambled to the open hatch.
No! Tell me, what was that?
You saw your corpse.
All about me. Everywhere I looked.
Sak grants that talent.
There is no such talent.
Sixth looked up at her, halfway down the pegs.
You have seen your death. That is what will happen if your friends use that machine. Death, all of us. The Aviar, everyone living here. I do not know why it will happen, but I know that it will.
You've discovered a new Aviar. How? When?
Hand me the lantern.
Looking numb, she obeyed, handing it down. He put it into his teeth and climbed down the pegs to the ground. Then he raised the lantern high, looking down the slope toward the jungle below. The inky jungle at night, like the depths of the ocean. Gokurli fluttered down from above, landing on his other shoulder. He would hide them, hide their minds at least. With that, they had a chance. Vathi scrambled down the pegs behind him, her pack with the strange tube in it over her shoulder.
You have two Aviar. You use them both at once?
My uncle had three.
How is that even possible?
They like trappers. So many questions, so much talking.
Could she not think about what the answers might be before asking?
We're actually going to do this. The jungle at night. I should stay. I should refuse.
You've seen your death if you do?
I've seen what you claim is my death. I don't know anything. A new Aviar. It has been centuries.
She walked after him as he strode down the slope and past his traps, entering the jungle again. His corpse sat at the base of a tree. That made him immediately look for what could kill him here. But Sak's senses seemed to be off. Impending death was upon them all. And it was so overpowering, it seemed to be smothering smaller dangers. He might not be able to rely upon her visions until the machine was destroyed. That worried him. If he was going to cross the island at night, her aid would have been invaluable. The thick jungle canopy seemed to swallow them. It was hot here, even at night. The ocean breezes didn't reach this far inland. That left the air feeling stagnant, and it dripped with the scents of the jungle. Fungus, rotting leaves, the perfumes of flowers. The lantern's light did not seem to extend as far as it should, and Vathi pulled up close to him behind.
Why did you do this before? The other time you went out at night?
More questions. I was wounded. We had to get from one safe camp to the other to recover my uncle's store of antivenom.
Because Sixth, hands trembling, had dropped the other flask.
You survived it? Well, obviously you did. I mean, I'm surprised is all.
She seemed to be talking to fill the air. Homeilers did that.
They could be watching us. Night moths.
They are not.
How can you know? Anything could be out there in that darkness.
If the night moths had seen us, we'd be dead. That is how I know.
He shook his head, sliding out his machete and cutting away a few branches before them. Any could hold death ants skittering across their leaves. In the dark, it would be difficult to spot them, and so brushing against foliage seemed a poor decision.
We won't be able to avoid it.
Sixth led the way down through a gully thick with mud. He had to step on stones to keep from sinking in. Vathi followed with remarkable dexterity for a scribe.
We have to go quickly. I can't cut down every branch in our way.
He hopped off of a stone and onto the bank of the gully, passing his body sinking into the mud. Nearby, however, he spotted a second corpse, so translucent it was nearly invisible. He raised his lantern, hoping it wasn't happening again. Others did not appear, just these two. And the very faint image. Yes, that was a sinkhole there. Sixth fished in his pocket for a seed to give her. She had figured out how to send him help anyway. The fainter images, he would have to watch for those.
Thank you.
That bird of yours, are there others?
They climbed out of the gully, continuing on, crossing a krill trail in the night. He stopped them just before they wandered into a patch of death ants. Vathi looked at the trail of tiny insects moving along their path. They were practically blind, but stumble into them. Well, they weren't the greatest of Patchy's dangers.
Sixth, are there others? Why haven't you brought any chicks to market?
I do not have any chicks.
So you found only the one?
Questions, questions.
Buzzing around him like flies.
Don't be foolish. You would ask the same if you saw someone with a new AVR.
He had tried to keep Sokka secret. For years, he hadn't even brought her with him when he left the island. But with her hurt wing, he hadn't wanted to abandon her. Deep down, he'd known he couldn't keep his secret forever.
There are many like her, but only she has a talent to bestow.
Vathi stopped in place as he continued to cut them a path. He turned back, looking at her alone on the new trail. He had given her the lantern to hold.
That's a mainlander bird. That's what I knew it was when I first saw it. But when you said it had a talent, I assumed I had been wrong. I wasn't. It is a mainlander bird.
Sixth turned back and continued cutting.
You brought a mainlander chick to the Pantheon, and it gained a talent.
Vathi hurried to keep up, the glow of the lantern tossing his shadow before him as she stepped up behind.
Surely someone else has tried it before. Surely.
He did not know. He had not heard it spoken of, however.
But why would they? The Avia are special. Everyone knows the breeds and what they do. Why assume that a fish would learn to breathe air if raised on land? Why assume a non-Avior would become one if raised on Pachi?
They continued through the night. Sixth led them around many dangers, though he found that he needed to rely upon Sok's help even more than he would have during the day. Do not follow that stream, which has your corpse bobbing in its waters. Do not touch that tree. The bark is poisonous with rot. Turn from that path. Your corpse shows a death ant bite. Sok did not speak to him, but each message was clear. They seemed more clear than normal, actually. Though these images were faint, almost invisible. When he stopped to let Vathi drink from her canteen, he held Sok and found her trembling. She did not peck at him as normal when he enclosed her in his hands. They stood in the small clearing, pure dark all around them, the sky shrouded in clouds. The night moths only did that when they had already made a kill, or when they were seeking to frighten prey. Often, Krell herds slept near Aviar roosts. Frighten away the birds, and you could sense the Krell. Vathi had taken out her tube. Not a scroll case, and not something scholarly at all, considering the way she held it as she poured something into its end. She held it like one would hold a weapon. Beneath her feet, Sixth's body lay mangled. Not one of the visions Sok was trying to send him, but one of the ones from the danger. He did not ask after Vathi's weapon, not even as she took some kind of short, slender spear and fitted into the top end. No weapon could penetrate the thick skin of a night maw. You either avoided them or you died. Kokurli fluttered down to his shoulder. He seemed confused by the darkness. Why were they out like this at night, when birds normally made no noise?
We must keep moving.
Sixth placed Sok on his shoulder again and took out his machete.
You realize that your bird changes everything.
Vathi shouldered her pack, carrying her tube in the other hand.
There will be a new kind of Avior.
That's the least of it. Sixth, our entire understanding of them is wrong. We assumed that chicks raised off of these islands did not develop their abilities because they were not around others to train them. We assumed that their abilities were part of them, like men have the ability to speak innate, but requiring help from others to develop properly.
So, that can still be the way. Other species can merely be trained to speak.
And your bird? Was it trained by others?
Perhaps.
He did not know everything Sok had done in her life. Of course, he suspected something else. He did not say it. It was a thing of trappers. Beyond that, he was stopped by something. A body on the ground before them. It was not his. He held up a hand immediately, stilling Vathi. That body was relatively fresh, though the meat had been picked off of much of the skeleton. The clothing still lay strewn about, ripped open by those that feasted upon it. Small fungus-like plants had sprouted around the ground near it, tiny red tendrils reaching up out of the ground to enclose parts of the skeleton. He looked up at the great tree, at the foot of which rested the corpse. The flowers were not in bloom.
What is it? Death ants?
No. Pachi's finger.
Is that some kind of curse?
It is a name.
Sixth stepped forward carefully, inspecting the corpse. Machete, boots, rugged gear. One of his colleagues had fallen. He thought he recognized the man from the clothing, an old trapper named First of the Sky. Sixth's uncle had known him.
Of the person?
Of the tree.
Sixth poked at the clothing of the man, careful of insects that might be lurking inside.
Raise the lamp.
I've never heard of that tree.
They are only on Paji.
I have read a lot about the flora on these islands.
And you know little still. Here, you are a child. Light.
Vathi raised it for him. He prodded at pockets on the ripped clothing with a stick. He had been killed by a Tuscaran pack, larger predators almost as large as a man that prowled mostly at day. Their movement patterns were normally predictable, unless one happened across one of Pakji's fingers in bloom. There. He found a small book in the man's pocket. Sixth raised it, then backed away. Perhaps he could have stopped Vathi from peering over his shoulder, but he was too interested in the book at the moment. Still, Homeilers stood so close to each other sometimes. They had a whole island, mostly to themselves. Did she need to stand right by his elbow? He checked the first pages, finding a list of dates. Yes, this death was fresh, only a few days old, judging by the last date written down. The pages after that detailed the locations of first safe camps, along with explanations of the traps guarding each one. The last page contained the farewell.
I am first of the sky, taken by Pachi at last. I have a brother on Suluko. Care for them, rival.
Few words.
Few words were good. Sixth carried a book like this himself, and he had said even less on his last page.
He wants you to care for his family?
Don't be stupid.
Sixth tucked the book away.
In this, them means his birds.
That's actually kind of sweet. I had always heard that trappers were incredibly territorial.
We are. But our birds might die without care. They are accustomed to humans and are no longer part of their flocks. Better to give them to a rival than to let them die.
Even if that rival is the one who killed you? The traps you set, the ways you try to interfere with one another?
It is our way.
That is an awful excuse.
Vathi looked up at the tree. It was massive, with drooping fronds. At the end of each one was a large closed blossom, as long as two hands put together.
You don't seem worried, though the plant seems to have killed that man.
These are only dangerous when they bloom.
Spores?
No.
Sixth picked up the fallen machete, but left the rest of First's things alone.
Let Paji claim him.
Sixth scanned the area, ignoring his corpse draped over a log. Sok gave him no direction, so he started out northward, continuing the trek toward the other side of the island.
Sixth?
Vathi hurried to him.
If not spores, then how does the tree kill?
So many questions.
My life is about questions and about answers. If my people are to work on this island...
He spun on her. Then she stepped back.
It's going to happen. You can't stop it, Sixth. I'm sorry. Perhaps we will be defeated, but others will come.
Because of the ones above.
He turned away and continued to lead through the dark underbrush.
Well, they may spur it, but it will happen without them. The world is changing. One man cannot slow it, no matter how determined.
He stopped in the path.
You cannot change it, Sixth, no matter how determined you are.
His mother's words, some of the last he remembered from her. Sixth continued on his way. The woman followed. He would need her, though a treacherous piece of him whispered that she would be easy to end. With her would go her questions, and more importantly, her answers, the ones he suspected she was very close to discovering.
You cannot change it.
He could not. He hated that he could not, but he could not. Killing this woman would accomplish nothing. Besides, had he sunk so low that he would take a helpless scribe and murder her in cold blood? He would not even do that to another trapper unless they approached his camp and did not retreat.
The blossoms can think.
He turned them away from a mound that showed the Tuscaran pack had been rooting there.
The fingers of Pachi. They attract predators like a wounded animal, which has thoughts full of pain and worry. The predators fight one another sometimes, and the tree feeds off of the corpses. That is what you saw growing beneath the man's body.
A plant? That broadcasts a mental signature? Are you certain?
Yes.
I need one of those blossoms.
The light shook as she turned to go back. Sixth spun and caught her by the arm.
No, we are not here to collect samples. We must keep moving.
But...
You will have another chance. Your people would soon infest this island like maggots on carrion. You will see other trees. Tonight we must go. Dawn is approaching.
Sixth let go of her and turned back to his work. He had judged her wise for a Mainisler. Perhaps she would listen. She did. She followed behind, walking quietly for a time.
I'm sorry.
It was not dusk when I was born.
Sixth hacked down a swamp vine, then held his breath against the noxious fumes that it released toward him a moment later. They were only dangerous for a few moments.
Excuse me? You were born...
Sixth looked over, meeting her eyes in the frail lantern light.
My mother did not name me for the time of day. It was not dusk, not in the day of my birth. I was named because my mother saw the dusk of our people. The sun will soon set, she often told me. I guess it has finally done just that.
Sixth looked back to Vati. Oddly, she smiled at him. Perhaps she realized he had shared something personal. He had not spoken those words to his uncle. Only his parents had known. He was not certain why he told this scribe from an evil company. A night maw broke through between two trees behind Vati. The enormous beast would have been as tall as a tree if it had stood upright on two legs. Instead, it leaned forward in a prowling posture, two clawed forelegs ripping up the ground as it reached forward, its long neck, open beak on the end, razor sharp and deadly. This was the closest he had ever seen one. It looked kind of like a bird, in the same way that a wolf looked like a lapdog. He threw his machete, an instinctive reaction, for he did not have time for thought. He did not have time for fear. That snapping beak, as tall as a door, would have the two of them dead in moments. His machete glanced off the beak, actually cutting it on the side of the head. Sixth leaped for Vati, to pull her away, to... Smoke burst into the air from Vati, who stood wide-eyed, having dropped the lantern, oil spilling on the ground. The sudden sound stunned him, and he almost collided with her as the night maw slumped and fell. Sixth found himself on the ground. He had tripped. He scrambled to his feet, backing away from the twitching night maw mere feet in front of him. The light was already dying. He couldn't look toward the fallen lantern, though. He stared at the beast in front of him, all leathery skin that was prickled and bumpy, like that beneath a bird that had lost its feathers. It was dead. She had killed it.
Sixth!
He raised a hand to his forehead, which had belatedly begun to prickle with sweat. His body tense, he felt as if he should be running. He had never wanted to be so close to one of these. Never. She'd actually killed it. He turned toward her, his eyes wide. Vati was trembling, but she covered it well.
Well, that worked. We weren't certain it would, even though we'd prepared these specifically for the night maws.
It's like a cannon. Like from one of the ships. Only in your hands.
Yes.
Sixth turned back toward the beast. He had been wrong earlier. It wasn't dead, not completely. It twitched. He could make out the large hole in its breast as he walked around it. The weapon had fired a spear of some sort that had gone right into its chest. It wasn't dead yet, but it soon would be.
It could kill them all.
He turned, then rushed over to Vati, taking her by the arm.
With those weapons, we could kill them all, every night more. Maybe the shadows too.
Well, yes, it has been discussed. However, they are important parts of the ecosystem on these islands. Removing the apex predators could have undesirable results.
Undesirable results? They'd be gone. All of them. I don't care what other problems you think it would cause. They would all be dead.
Vati picked up the lantern.
I thought trappers were connected to nature.
We are. That's how I know we would all be better off without any of these things. No more nightmares. What a different world it would be.
You are disabusing me of many romantic notions about your kind, Six. I wish we had time. Nobody has ever been able to study one of these up close.
With those weapons, you should have plenty of chances.
Sixth held up his arm. Kokurli fluttered down from high branches. In the chaos and explosion, Sixth had not seen the bird fly away. Sok still clung to his shoulder with a death grip, her claws digging into his skin through the cloth. He hadn't noticed. Kokurli landed on his arm.
It wasn't your fault. They prowled the night. Even if they cannot sense our minds, they can hear us, smell us.
Night maws did not have good vision, nor was their hearing excellent. Their sense of smell, however, was said to be incredible. This one had come up the trail behind them. It must have crossed their path and followed it.
Dangerous.
His uncle always claimed the Night Maws were growing smarter, that they knew they could not hunt men only by their minds.
I should have taken us across more streams. There just isn't time.
His body lay wherever he looked, draped across a rock, hanging from the vines of trees, slumped beneath a dying Night Maw's claw. The beast trembled once more in what seemed a final way, then amazingly it lifted its gruesome head. Sixth stepped back, despite himself. He twisted his head to the side, stumbling backward, looking out into that deep blackness. At least five other beasts sounded in the night. That sound. He had been trained to recognize that sound as the sound of death.
We're going.
Sixth stalked across the ground and pulled Vati away from the dying beast, which had lowered its head and fallen silent. It might be dead. It no longer moved. She did not resist as he pulled her away, though she did look over her shoulder at the monster.
Sixth?
Was it closer?
Oh, Pachi. No, not this. Come.
He pulled her faster and reached for his machete. He had thrown it. He did not go back for it. He took out the one he had gathered from his fallen rival and began to hack at leaves, only when necessary. He could no longer worry about brushing against death ants. A greater danger was coming.
Are those getting closer?
Sixth did not answer. It was a question, but one he did not know the answer to. He released her hand, moving more quickly, almost at a trot, faster than he ever wanted to go through the jungle, day or night.
Sixth, will they come to the call of the dying one? Is that something they do?
How should I know? I have never known one of them to be killed before.
Sixth saw the tube, again carried over her shoulder, lit by the light of the lantern she carried, though his instinct screamed at him to keep moving. He paused.
The weapon.
He felt a fool. They had a weapon that could kill Night Maws. That such a thing existed still amazed him.
Your weapon? You can use it again?
Yes. Once more.
Once more?
Yes. I only brought three of the spears this thing fires, and enough powder for three shots. I tried firing one at the shadow. It didn't do much.
One more attack.
So his instincts were right. He spoke no further, towing her into the jungle. How did one escape Night Maws? His aviar clung to him, one on each shoulder. He had to leap over his corpse periodically as they traversed a gulch and came up the other side.
How do you escape them?
He remembered his uncle's training.
You don't draw their attention in the first place.
They were fast. Kokurli would hide his mind from them, but if they picked up his trail at the dead one...
Water.
He stopped in the night, turning right, then left. Where would he find a stream? Pachi was an island. Fresh water came from rainfall, mostly. The largest lake, the only one really, was up the wedge toward the peak. Pachi was shaped something like a wedge. Along the eastern side, the island rose to some heights with cliffs on all sides. It was not terribly tall, but was elevated farther than the rest of the island. Rainfall collected there in Pachi's eye and could not escape except slowly. The river, his tears. It was a dangerous place to go with Vati in tow. Their path had skirted the slope up the heights, heading across the island toward the northern beach. It would only be a small diversion. That spurred him on.
Pachi, forgive me.
He seized Vati's hand, towing her in a slightly different direction. She did not complain, though she did keep looking over her shoulder. He ran. He ran as he had never expected to do on Pachi, wild and reckless. Leaping over troughs, around fallen logs coated in moss, through the dark underbrush, scaring away meekers and startling aviar slumbering in the branches above. It was foolish. It was crazy. He did not fear death to insect bites or falling vines. Somehow he knew the kings of Pachi hunted him. Lesser dangers would not dare steal from their betters. Vati followed with difficulty. Those skirts were troubled, but Sixth had to occasionally stop and cut their way through underbrush. Urgent, frantic, he did so. He expected her to keep up, and she did. A piece of him, buried deep beneath the terror, was impressed. This woman would have made a fantastic tracker. Instead, she would probably destroy them. They were close. He hacked through a dense patch of undergrowth and ran on, sweat streaming down the sides of his face. Jostling light came from the lantern behind, clutched by Vati, and the scene before him as he ran was one of horrific shadows dancing on the jungle's boughs, leaves, ferns, and rocks.
This is your fault, Pachi! Why must you try to kill us, those who protect you? We are your priests, and yet you hate us! You hate all!
Sixth's uncle had explained that Pachi needed to be deadly to keep away the unwelcome, the unworthy. And yet, Vati was nearly as good as any trapper, though she had not set foot on Pachi until recently. Did that make her worthy? Did that make her welcome? Sixth broke from the jungle and out onto the banks of the river. Small by mainland standards, he had once seen a river there so wide no man could have jumped it. Still, this would do. He led Vati right into it, splashing into the cold waters. He turned upstream. What else could he do? Downstream was to lead closer to those sounds, the calls of death.
Of the dusk! Of the dusk!
He led Vati upriver. The waters came only to their calves, bitter cold. The coldest water on the island, though he did not know why. They slipped and scrambled as they ran, best they could, upriver. Liz passed them through some narrows with lichen-covered rock walls on either side, twice as tall as a man. They burst out into the basin, halfway up the heights, a place men did not go, a place he had visited only once. A cool emerald lake rested here, sequestered. Sixth towed Vati to the side, out of the river, toward some brush. Perhaps she would not see. He huddled down with her, raising a finger to his lips, then turning down the light of the lantern she still held. Night moths could not see well, but perhaps the dim light would help, in more ways than one. They waited there, on the shore of the small lake, hoping that the water had washed away their scent, hoping the night moths would grow confused and be unable to track them. For one thing about this place was that the basin had steep walls, hidden as it was in Pachi's depths. There was no way out other than the river, and if the night moths came up it, Sixth and Vati would be trapped. The creatures had reached the river. Sixth waited in almost near darkness, and so squeezed his eyes shut. He prayed to Pachi, whom he loved, whom he hated. So she had seen. Of course she had. She was a seeker, a learner, a questioner.
Why must men ask so many questions?
Sixth, there are aviary here. Hundreds of them.
Even as they awaited death itself, however, she saw and could not help speaking.
Have you seen them? What is this place? So many juveniles, barely able to fly.
They come here. Every bird from every island. In their youth, they must come here.
He opened his eyes, looking up at the rim of the basin. He had turned down the lantern, but it was still bright enough to see them roosting there. Some stirred at the light and the sound. The night moths had not left the banks of the river. They were searching.
Every bird from every island, they all come here, to this place. Are you certain?
Yes.
It was a thing that trappers knew. You could not capture a bird before it had visited Pachi.
Otherwise, it would be able to bestow no talent.
They come here. We knew they migrated between islands. Why do they come here? What is the point?
Was there any point in holding back now? She would figure it out. Huddled here in the night though they were, she would figure it out. Still, he did not speak.
Let her do so.
They gain their talents here, don't they? How? Is it where they are trained? Is this how you made a bird who was not an aviar into one? You brought a hatchling here, and then...
Vati frowned, raising her lantern.
I recognize those trees. They are the ones you called Pachi's fingers.
A dozen of them grew here, the largest concentration on the island. And beneath them, their fruit littered the ground, much of it eaten. Some of it only halfway so, bites taken out by birds of all stripes. Vati saw him looking and frowned.
The fruit?
Worms.
It's not the birds. It never has been. It's a parasite. They carry a parasite that bestows talents. That's why those raised over the islands cannot gain the abilities, and why a mainland bird you brought here could.
Yes.
This changes everything, Sixth. Everything.
Yes. Of the dusk. Born during that dusk? A bringer of it.
What had he done? They had decided to search upriver. They were clever, more clever than men off of the islands thought them to be. Vati turned toward the small river canyon.
I am trying to protect you. I need to stop the men and the device. I know it. Why? Why do you hunt me?
But he knew so much.
Too much.
more than any man had known, for he had asked questions.
Men and their questions.
They're coming for us, aren't they?
The answer seemed obvious. He did not answer.
No. I won't die with this knowledge, Sixth. I won't. There must be a way.
There is. So, I finally pay for it.
Sixth took Sok carefully in his hand and placed her on Vati's shoulder. He pried Kokurli free, too.
Why? What are you doing?
I will go as far as I can.
Sixth handed Kokurli toward her. The bird bit with annoyance at his hands, never strong enough to draw blood.
You will need to hold him. He will try to follow me.
No! But wait. We can hide in the lake. They
will find us. It isn't deep enough by far to hide us.
But you can't.
They are nearly here, woman.
He forced Kokurli into her hands.
The men of the company will not listen to me if I tell them to turn off the device. You are smart. You can make them stop. You can reach them. With Kokurli, you can reach them. Be ready to go.
She looked at him, stunned, but she seemed to realize that there was no other way. She stood, holding Kokurli in two hands as he stepped back into the river. He would have to go quickly to reach the end of the canyon before they arrived. If he could draw them out into the jungle even a short ways to the south, Vati could slip out. As he entered the stream, his visions of death finally vanished. No more corpses bobbing in the water, lying on the banks. Sok had realized what was happening. He started to run. One of Pachi's fingers, growing right next to the mouth of the canyon, was blooming.
Wait!
He should not have stopped as Vati yelled at him. He should have continued on, for time was so slim. However, the sight of that flower, along with her yell, made him hesitate.
The flower!
Vati ran up, letting go of Kokurli, who immediately flew to his shoulder. Vati pulled the flower off. It was as large as a man's head, with a large bulging part at the center.
A flower that can think! A flower that can draw the attention of predators!
Both of their heads turned toward the tube, her weapon, which lay sticking from her pack on the bank of the river. Sixth pulled out his rope as she ran for it. Then he ripped the flower from its branch. He tied the rope to it as Vati ran up with her weapon, the spear sticking out slightly from the end. Sixth tied the other end of his rope to it. He could see their shadows. He stumbled back from Vati as she crouched down, setting the weapon's butt against the ground, and pulled a lever at the base. Aviar all around the rim of the basin took wing. A storm of feathers ensued, and through the middle of it, Vati's spear shot into the air, towing the rope and with it the flower. That arced out over the canyon into the night. Sixth grabbed her by the shoulder and pulled her back along the river into the lake itself. They slipped into the shallow water, Kokurli on his shoulder, Sok on hers. They left the lantern burning, giving a quiet light to the suddenly empty basin. The lake was not deep, 2 or 3 feet. Even crouching, it didn't cover them completely. Night Moss stopped in the canyon. His lantern light showed a couple of them in the shadows, large as huts, turning and watching the sky. They were smart, but like the Meekers, not as smart as men.
Pachi! Pachi, please! She is right! The secrets cannot remain secret forever. Not with the way the world changes. They will get out. I will carry them and do what I can with them.
The Night Moss turned back down the canyon, following the mental signature broadcast by the flowering plant. Sixth counted to 100, then slipped from the waters. Vati, sodden in her skirts, did not speak as she grabbed the lantern. They left the weapon, its shots expended. The Night Moss grew further and further away as Sixth led the way out of the canyon. Then, directly north, slightly downslope. He kept expecting yells to turn and follow. They did not. The company fortress was a horridly impressive sight. A work of logs and canyons right at the edge of the water, guarded by an enormous iron-hulled ship. Smoke rose from it, the burning of morning cook fires. Sixth sat on a rock, a short distance from what appeared to be a dead shadow, its mountainous corpse draped half in the water, half out. He did not enter the fortress. Better to stay out here, near the dead shadow, even though his skin prickled as he looked at it. His own corpse lay in the shallows beside it. Sok rested on his shoulder, dozing, and Kokurli was on a branch closer to the forest. He seemed in good spirits. As Sixth waited, his corpse slowly vanished from the shadows, fading like a shadow blending with darkness in the fall of night. Vati finally left the fortress. Alone, thankfully, though two more men joined the guards at the gate. all bore weapons similar to the one she had used to kill the Night Maw. She had not changed. Her muddied skirts were stuck with twigs, her hair a mess. Her eyes were alight. She stepped up to him. The surf washed against Pachi's rocks. Sixth could not decide if he found it a violent sound or a peaceful one.
It is done.
But he already knew that it was. The vision had ended. The danger had passed.
Eusto was not pleased at my survival, though he could not say so. He was reluctant to stop the device, but my authority supersedes his own.
Sixth nodded. His eyes fell again on the dead shadow.
Come into our fortress. Get some rest, some food.
I must return and check on my Aviar.
They will survive another day without you. They live on this island for weeks at a time without your presence.
He did not reply.
Sixth, we could use your knowledge, your wisdom.
I know. You could.
Sixth turned back toward Pachi. He could not interpret events of the night. Had the Night Maws been Pachi seeking to cover his secrets? Or had the flower been redemption sent by his father? Which was Sixth?
Condemned or rescued? Neither? Both? What happened to the one above? The one who died while eating? The one to whom those devices of yours belonged?
His body was reclaimed by the others. Why do you ask?
I do not think he is really dead. They have tricked you.
Vathi raised an eyebrow at him.
The machine is a trap. They expected you to use it, and they knew the damage it would cause.
That's an interesting theory.
Vathi studied him in the morning light. She looked exhausted. The thing she had been through. It had been less than a day since his arrival back on Pachi, and yet so much had happened.
It is true. You were to use it, and in so doing, endanger the area.
That makes no sense.
It does. The ones above seek an excuse to come down and take control of these islands. Just as you have sought an excuse to do the same. If they could prove to themselves, perhaps to those who watch them, that you are dangerous to the AVR, they would come and rescue them to protect a resource. Is that not the argument you used? They will use the same.
You don't know them, Sixth. They're strange. Though they look like us, they're as different from you and me as, well, as we are from the AVR.
Yes, so different. The Aviar used the worms, we used the Aviar, and now the ones above seek to use us. It is the way of things. I am right. This was a trap. I can see traps. It is what I do.
Perhaps.
Sixth climbed off of his rock.
I have brought you back to safety. Farewell.
Sixth.
She seemed to search for words. That seemed odd for a home-isler. They always seemed to have plenty of words piled atop one another, ready to spew out. Of course, those were the wrong words. Right words were far more difficult. He understood her silence then, as he walked away from her back into the jungle. His trip back to his safe camp was accomplished with far less difficulty and far less speed than had been required by frantic crossing during the night. He tried to get into the rhythm of trapping, the familiar motions that had been his companions for many years. However, the jungle looked different to him now. It had been conquered. Oh, the outpost was new, but the secrets were out and the peak had been crossed. By the time he reached his safe camp, dusk was again approaching. He did only a cursory check of things here before finding himself striking out toward the beach. He arrived as night settled, and despite Kokurli's complaints, he shoved his canoe back out into the waters and climbed aboard. He rowed all the way out into the waters, where he could look upon Pachi as a whole. He sat there, dark waves undulating beneath his ship as the moons rose and the stars came out. Pachi, father, killer and provider, a dark wedge in the night, crammed with life, so much that it seemed to spill out sometimes. Sixth slept on his canoe that night. In the morning, while the sun rose behind him, he paddled around the island and came back to the fortress. He landed and went to its gates, demanding to speak to Vathi. She came to the gates, changed, refreshed. She smiled as she saw him.
I will come in, and I will help you. But you will do something for me.
What?
Eventually, the ones above will take some of the AVR with them. They will find a way around their laws. They will get what they want. It is inevitable.
You are probably right.
When those birds go, I go with them into the above. I don't care what it takes. You will find a way. If you send AVR, you send me.
There has been talk of sending an ambassador with them to their worlds in the above. It was thought a politician or a scientist should be chosen.
It was not a question, so Sixth did not reply.
A trapper, though. That makes a kind of sense in and of itself. Who better to explore where none of us have yet gone? I will try. I cannot promise anything, Sixth, but you have my word to try.
She held out her hand to him. He considered it as he would a cutaway vine hanging from a tree ahead. His corpse appeared at her feet. Danger. He took Vathi's hand anyway and stepped into the fortress.